listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, we are off and pacing. Welcome in. It is week two
of
the National Football League.
Pumped up.
I'm jacked up.
I mean, Big Ten is back.
Big Ten is back
NFL
and ready to
today,
go.
Baby.
I mean, because that was one of the questions I forgot to ask you off the air. Is Michael coming back?
Hell no.
I didn't think so. But I thought I'd ask since a bunch of other guys in the Big Ten
have opted back. If you're asking my opinion, I basically told him you would be the goat of all goats if you come back.
Oh, you want to talk about rose petals at the feet of all right, here we go. Let's get it.
He would be the goat of all goats at Penn State. But he has too much to lose. Like, let's be real. Like, when reality and fantasy collide, it creates, you know, thunder and lightning and stuff like that, right? It sounds good. In a great world, a perfect world, he opts back in. But I can't see it.
No, I'm excited to see how this plays. Now, we had a report from Dan Patrick, who's been all over this with the Big Ten, that they went out of their way to punish Nebraska for their threat of, hey, we want to leave and all of that, that went public. If that's the case, any of those people on the committee, I'm calling it here on Fox Sports Radio, you should be fired. You should be exiled from the sport. Vindictiveness. Because you look at the front of their schedule, Ohio State, I think it's Wisconsin, then Northwestern, then Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Those are their first four games.
Mm-hmm.
That is some vindictive stuff. So if that can be corroborated and that's legit, you should all be jobless. We're creating four new opportunities to lead, or five, or whatever the number is, to create a whole new committee, because that's just pure shenanigans. We had college football rolling on. We're talking about the NBA conference finals. We got the U.S. Open finishing up. The Stanley Cup final is going. I mean, there's just so much in the sporting world, LeVar.
Yep.
And really not enough time to do all of it justice. So we'll do what we're charged to do here and get into week number two of the National Football League. Thursday night football gave us a thriller. Cleveland 35-30. And you know why it's a thriller? Well, it was a 12-point game, and then well, the door was left open and they sneaked back in. So if you had the Bengals plus six, you cashed. But Joe Burrow, there's a kid, if we're talking about, well, once upon a time in the Big Ten Conference, who looks like a guy who's been playing in the NFL a little bit.
Joe Burrow is a grown man. He's got a lot to learn, but has a ton of upside. You know what I thought was interesting in that game? Was there, did you catch, maybe there was an agenda connected to Baker Mayfield? Who does Baker Mayfield have on his payroll, man? Because on everything, I thought that Baker Mayfield might have been going into the Hall of Fame with Joe Buck. Shouts out to Joe Buck joining his dad only father-son combo to get, what is it, the Pete Rozelle Award to go into the Hall of Fame.
That was a nice tribute and surprise.
Troy Aikman and Joe Buck were politicking for Baker Mayfield to go into the Hall of Fame as well. His induction, enshrinement, like, in the next 3 to 4 years.
Well, see, I think a lot of it comes down to, at this point, for Baker Mayfield entering year three of, he's in Cleveland. Like, I think it was almost an open apology to the situation that he's been handed. Right? The number of coordinators, head coaches.
Then there's a lot of people. Then there are a lot of people that need an open apology, and my name should be on that list.
I'm sorry.
Dang that. I ain't trying to hear that. You don't.
I'll give you my virtual hug from the other side of the studio.
Let me tell you something.
He's a quarterback, LeVar. You know how this goes.
You're right. But I'm a linebacker from Penn State. You know, that kind of.
It's got sway, too.
Hey, but here's some interesting stuff, right?
All right.
So I'm sitting there, I'm thinking to myself, they're talking about Hall of Fame Baker Mayfield. Baker got his head kicked in the week before, people. Like,
yes,
do you not remember what happened when he played against? What was the team? Who was the team they played in week one? What was the name of that team they played and they got their heads kicked in by? I have a selective memory on the game.
Your selective memories.
Because it was so bad. It was so ugly. And
well, the
disgusting.
Ravens just absolutely.
There it is. The Ravens. We were having.
They did not belong on the same field.
We were debating on Speak for Yourself. Should they have. Should they have taken Lamar Jackson out earlier? Like, Coach Harbaugh says, I could have took him out at halftime. Y'all want me to take him out at halftime? Like, come on. You're beating up on the Browns so bad that we're having debates. Not about the game. Not about the game.
Oh, you're going AI.
We're having a debate about should the man have been taken out to preserve him because y'all stink so bad, right? And 1 week late, we're not even a whole week removed from that game, bro.
We get to Thursday night,
and Troy Aikman and those fellas, shouts out to Troy, that's my man. They put the man in the Hall of Fame. They did everything that you could possibly do to have a conversation that would create an environment that would call for Baker Mayfield to be looked at in that type of a manner, in that light. Now, here's what's interesting. I saw more positive out of the things that I wanted to see from a young rookie quarterback in Joe Burrow than I did Baker Mayfield in that game. And to this point, the Bengals suck, just like the Cleveland Browns. Both teams stink. Bottom cellar dwellers. You know that noise you hear after you're getting done with the business that you get done with? Then you got to go wash your hands, and then you look in the mirror, make sure there's nothing in your eyes and then your nose, and then, you know, no crust on your mouth or your face. That same noise you heard right before you did that process, or after. Some people like to go to the mirror before. I don't know. Me, I like after. That's what those two teams are in the AFC North. They are that. And to create this narrative to try to move forward with, to really want people to look at him in that manner, I just felt like that was a tad bit disingenuous. And almost, if you're being honest in that moment and you're not being disingenuous, I really want to know, what's your agenda? There had to be to do. I mean, it was that noticeable, Mike.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to, and look, I'm on air for a chunk of it, so I don't hear the second half, right? Mm. So I got muted. I went back and watched, but again, you're I'm more paying attention to
Mike.
The
you could have tuned
point.
Out by halftime with all of it that you heard in the
but,
first
but,
half.
But it is that way, right? It's part of it is the hype machine, and I get that. Right, that's what we got to do. We got to talk them up, especially at this point in the year, because by week six, you can take the baseball bat to them.
Mm-hmm.
Week one, because as we go through games today, LeVar, I mean, obviously, the NFL, and I never understand why they do this. This year, we could talk a lot of talk about ratings. But in general, the way that it's set up to have these matchups in week one, you're the NFL. You don't need to.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at Cleveland, they're somewhere between a 35-point team, and granted, since he's no good, as you said, they stink. There's parts and components that I think are going to be
with a baby at quarterback
that are going
to
be fun.
You want to put somebody on that list of people that need to have a little bit of sympathy and empathy for the person? It's Joe Burrow.
No, but that's just it. Like I think it's Baker's been that guy, right? Because he was the hype man last year, and they failed, mm-hmm. and now you come into year three, and I think you're hoping with Kevin Stefanski he finds some semblance of normalcy, because there's a lot of talent on that offense, right? We got a lot of bodies where things should break right. And here, and I think to my point was you got them against Baltimore week one.
Yep.
And we know there's a chasm between where those two teams are, right?
Yeah, well, and
so,
it showed.
So what is Cleveland, right? Are they going to be in the middle? Are they going to still become in that division?
But here's the
thing. It ain't going to be fun.
And you're right, Mike, but here's where I find myself in this complex space of how do I really want to approach the conversation about Baker Mayfield? Because here, you start to think, okay, coming into the season, there was this big buildup between Mahomes and Deshaun Watson to collide and clash. Like, is this the start of a rivalry and different things like this? This is the AFC North.
Yeah.
The AFC North. What better division to have a budding, bright future of a head-to-head quarterbacks deal, right? Baker Mayfield, name fits. Joe Burrow, the name fits. Oh, wait, there's another quarterback in that division. Lamar Jackson. There's another quarterback, and he's old, but there's another. Ben Roethlisberger. In age, The intensity and the excitement of games, the age plays, it plays because, you know, you look at it like, man, he got him this time. Like, I will look at this game that took place between Cincy and the Browns, and if Joe Burrow is able to become the player that I think he can become, which is going to be hard in Cincinnati, but if he can become that guy, I'll look back at this game and I'll be like, man, they gave him a little props, but they were too busy sitting there concerning themselves with Baker Mayfield. So that'd be interesting to see if Joe Burrow turns into something. Now, if Baker Mayfield turns this into something and is able to make it mean something, then now it gets even more interesting because I can look back at this moment and be like, man, you know what? Troy and them saw something that I just didn't see, and it created an excitement that I have right now, and I got to give props due. You know, it might be a year or two later, but, man, okay, here we go. We got a rivalry going on, right?
Yep.
But I don't see it.
All right, so we're going to roll
right
through.
Now.
We're going to roll through the entire slate of game. We got Falcons Cowboys coming up in a couple of minutes here. I just want to close with this. You remember watching WWE, WWF Superstars at 10 a.m. on your local Saturday mornings, right?
Yeah.
Every week. And what did you have as you went to a, quote, commercial break? You had a shoot interview, right? So it was Mean Gene or whoever it was.
Yeah, of course.
Come on in, if you will.
Yep.
And then they'd bring the guy in.
Yep.
And I was like,
ooh, yeah.
Don't forget tonight at the Hammond Civic Center,
that's right.
7 o'clock. We still have some tickets available.
Yeah.
Get cage side as the heavyweight champion of the world. That's kind of what it feels like with Baker Mayfield.
Right.
Is it still,
still
trying to hype because they've had the expectations?
Right.
Joe Burrow, nobody's got expectations. It's don't break in half. I would like to see him once AJ Green shakes off the rust, because that was not AJ Green.
I think it's over for him, man. I think it's over for AJ. I hate to say it. I think like it's whatever the injuries he's dealing with, it's messed him up. But
the one pass in the end zone, I think, spoke to that so well.
Them teams stink.
No, they're bad. The run game's going to be fun, though, for you fantasy owners when you look at Nick Chubb and you look
man,
at Kareem
boys,
Hunt.
Listen, Cleveland stinks.
And that's the bottom line.
Because
LeVar said so.
With an A,
boom!
Not an I.
No question about it. At
they,
King of the Mammals.
They stank.
On Instagram, at LeVar Arrington on Twitter. And, of course, speak for yourself on FS1 during the week, each and every week. We're in here in the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. You got the iHeartRadio app, SiriusXM, Channel 83, 400-plus affiliates nationwide, foxsportsradio.com. And, as always, the little voice in your head. We start breaking down the rest of Week 2 coming up next here on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back. Fox Sports Radio. This is Fox Football Sunday. Mike Harmon alongside the great LeVar Arrington. At King of the Mammals on Instagram is where you find him. WarriorWoke.com. Get the mind trained to get the body right. It all works together in perfect harmony. Check it out there over on FS1. Speak for yourself as well. You find me here all the time here on Fox Sports Radio, 7 to 11 Pacific during the week, alongside Jason Smith and, of course, our blissful, very fast 2 hours. You want to talk about fast pace, because we got to get through all of these games, LeVar.
Well, when you get fast pace and getting through all of these games, you know, sometimes you need a little assistance.
No, that's it. You're going to get a little bit sore, right? Because you're pointing a lot and throwing the... next. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief, because that's what's going to help you get through,
you
my man.
Okay.
Works
right.
Fast. You won't stink. Pharmacists recommended. Odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strains, sprains, or even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. It's simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief works fast, and you won't stink. All right, it's time to get into the games. Let's get it going.
Or stank.
What about? Let's go all day.
Falcons at Cowboys.
No stank here, and we start with a big one. Because, let's face it, both teams last week, well, they stank. Over-under at a robust 54 for this one, LeVar. So we're expecting some points. Cowboys without Van Der Esch. Cowboys also possibly without Tyron Smith and the offensive line. We know Lyle Collins is already on IR short term for the Falcons. You've got that passing attack. Your guy, Todd Gurley, had a big game.
He didn't have enough opportunities, and I had him as a stud for the game, a mammal for the week. But they had to go away from it. It started off real well, but didn't last because they lost the lead and needed to pass. So it'll be interesting. They got to go into Dallas to try to win this game. I think they'll score points, but I don't think it's going to be this tremendous offensive explosion. I think there'll be a lot of passing yards on both sides, more so on the Cowboys. I think Dak will have a big game. I'm looking at Amari Cooper to have a breakout game this week. But you're right. There are so many questions with the health of this team and what they're going to be able to do in terms of the Dallas Cowboys. This is a very pivotal game for the Dallas Cowboys and one Dak Prescott. I'm taking Dallas in this game, but I'll say this. I certainly would not be surprised if Atlanta is able to pull this victory.
So you like them plus the four. So yes. We'll put them on the other side.
Because
I'm taking Atlanta flat out.
Okay.
I'm looking at the talent on the offensive side. And look, it goes back to what we were talking about with Cleveland and Baltimore and that gap. Yeah. Seattle is that good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Russell Wilson is that good. Atlanta's defense leaves me scared. I did like last week the fact that they tried to feed Amari Cooper, right? 14 mm-hmm. targets. Get him involved early and often, but Zeke's got to eat. Make all the fun you want of the tattoo of his gut. Fact of the matter is, the guy's got to see the ball 20 plus times. And I forget who the analysis was by. I think it was Jimmy Johnson of our Fox family, kind of saying, "Look, they're better." And look, it may seem cliche, but there are quarterbacks that can keep gunning. We talk about Joe Burrow, mm-hmm. like he's going to keep fighting to keep you in a game. I think Dak's better once that run's established, right? Once that works and you can work a little play action. We saw Zeke in the passing game a little bit last week, but third string center also, in addition to all those other issues you've had because Travis Frederick isn't there to anchor things anymore. So
it's going
to
be interesting.
I am going to take Atlanta to win this one straight up. One of the things I got to mention also, right? So that means I'm taking them plus the four. I've started something that's called 1-900. Lose my A's. So the idea being everybody's now a gambling expert in this space. Look, we try to talk about it from an informed watching football, knowing football, going through personnel, and make our best picks for entertainment purposes only. So that's what I'll be doing. That video will be posted later. But there's pick number one, the Atlanta Falcons.
All right. I got the Cowboys.
Next. Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Vikings at Colts.
Here's a game featuring two teams that were grossly disappointing in week one. I think would be the nice way to say
they weren't disappointing to their opponents.
No. Indianapolis moving the ball at will. The Vikings got absolutely run over by the Green Bay Packers.
Yes, they did.
49 is the over-under in this one. Phillip Rivers, look at Paris Campbell. Hang a star on him, all you fantasy owners out there. There's going to be some opportunity for targets. He had 9 last week. For the game, we've got the Colts favored at home by 3. Danielle Hunter is still out. They did a good job last week of neutralizing Ngakoue. I don't think you heard his name other than talk about his acquisition.
No. Yeah, they really did a great job, Green Bay did, in game planning them. I would have thought the defense up front would have had much more success than what they were able to have, but they were, in essence, neutralized. Aaron Rodgers was masterful in reading the field and finding the open pockets and windows to deliver the ball. He put people on notice. But with that being said, that is Aaron Rodgers. And this Minnesota Vikings still, in the DNA of what they represent, is a very, very strong and aggressive defense. I still believe in what this defense can achieve and do. This is a bad, bad matchup for a turnover machine like Phillip Rivers. I don't think he finds a way to really, truly get on track this week with that Vikings defense. They are at home, but I don't see how, again, having to travel, but I don't know how much of a home field advantage it is as of right now. So I'm taking the Vikings in this one.
I am in full agreement here. I think this is a great spot. Man for man, I think you've got a better squad here in Minnesota. Jonathan Taylor takes over the number one running back duties. There will be no return of the Mac even though we're using it in commercials, we can't use it. Marlon Mack, done for the year. We won't be able to talk about him. Nyheim Hines, for you guys in fantasy PPR leagues, he's going to be a beast. He'll still see a lot of targets. But I'm with you. I think they get after Phillip Rivers. I love that Indianapolis offensive line. But as we've seen, Phillip is not Phillip of a couple years ago. He does not pull that trigger quite as quickly as he should. And they march the ball on Jacksonville all week long and still find a way to gack it. I don't think they have the luxury here. I'm looking for a monster day out of Adam Thielen. He's my number two fantasy wide receiver the week. 6 for 110 and 2 on 8 targets last week. Looking for bigger things from him. And the rookie Jefferson, I think you're looking for a bigger breakout from him.
Keep in mind, Kirk Cousins is a little game juggernaut.
Nicely done. Well put. Minnesota, again, I'm going for the road upset once again. There we go. Next!
Wear them out. Let's go all day!
Chiefs and Chargers.
Really?
All right. Here's a great stat for you, because this gets interesting, right? 90% of money, 98% of tickets. This is from Bernie Fratto on Straight Out of Vegas last night. Shout out, Bernie.
Shout out to Bernie.
98% of tickets are Kansas City. 98%!
No way.
Absolutely amazing.
Here in L.A., 98%.
Yeah. So, coming in, 9-point favorites are the Chiefs, 47.5 the over-under. From what I saw, look, now you lose Pouncey. You'd already lost Derwin James, so you've lost your two field generals, right? I mean, let's call it what it is.
A massacre?
This could be. This could get ugly in a hurry.
You said the number was what? 9?
Kansas City's given 9. Traveling here to SoFi.
I mean, what's your return on that? I wouldn't even waste my time betting on a game like this.
They have covered their last 10 games. Again, all through Bernie.
Do they create bets where you can say, okay, they'll beat them by this many touchdowns?
I think you can find some props out there. You're not going to get a huge limit on it, but I think you can find that number.
Man, that would be the bet to take in this one, because the Kansas City Chiefs are about to lambaste the Chargers.
Yeah, you got Justin Jackson, my guy from Northwestern, is out. Joshua Kelly, who had a big role last week, you'll see it more. Here's a stat that I think stood out for me for week one, right? They eked out a win over the Bengals 16-13. That's probably about their offensive run, right? Probably 20 points, 23 points with Tyrod Taylor.
They have so much talent on that offense.
You're looking at Williams, Allen, Hunter Henry. Austin Eckler last week, LeVar, 1 target out of the backfield.
Yes.
Last year, he had 92 catches.
My man Acho says it's so great, and I enjoy it when he does it. Sometimes it's really not the car or the engine. It's the driver. And that's not a shot at Tyrod. That may be a shot at the coaching staff. You got to. They almost had the same type of setup that Cleveland has.
I'm going to be honest with you. If you go back and find the tape from Smith and I at the end of last season,
you said this.
I called for the coaching change.
Well,
I like Anthony Lynn. He's one of those guys. I love listening to hearing him talk about his guys and the way he gets them ready. Problem is he an A to B guy? Because that was Lovie Smith in Chicago from where I sat.
Hmm.
Players loved him, and they would win 8 to 10 consistently. But was he going to get you over? Because you don't conserve
to the Super Bowl.
Well, once, but everything had to go right. No. But LeVar, everything had to go right.
Well, that's fair.
Right? You can't coach turnovers and Devin Hester running like a madman.
You can.
To
but
a
you
point,
can't.
Though.
You
know
gotta,
what I mean,
you
though?
You got to put them into places to make those things happen.
Because look at 2 years ago with the Bears. Not to make it all about the Bears. 2 years ago, everything broke right and every ball bounced their way. Khalil Mack was living in the backfield. Last year, that goes the other way, and all of a sudden they're clawing to get back to 8-8. So I'm wondering if we don't have the same thing.
That's the beauty of it all, and coaches play a part in that, and for what it's worth, whatever our discussion point is on that.
We'll talk about that another time. Minus
the Chargers
nine,
are going to get spanked.
Yeah, I can.
You want to know? You want to know the period or the exclamation point at the end of this whole conversation? The Chargers are going to get spanked.
Yeah,
today.
Back end maybe they beat the spread.
They're going to beat that spread.
Yeah, that would take some heroic efforts. I'm just curious to see. Well, you're trying to get some. What you do is just try to move it right to see if you can get some money. Nice.
They should have put
the other
like
side.
18 or
I think that's
on
well,
that.
But I think that's one of those where they're like,
go under.
Putting the line in the water saying, please come bet this. I mean, when 90% of the money is one way.
Yeah.
I mean, that comes in. That is a bad day for the books, let me tell you.
Getcha.
LeVar Arrington alongside me. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us. This is Fox Football Sunday. Coming up next, we're going to play a little game called Choose Your Own Adventure.
All right.
But first, it's our buddy Isaac Lowenkron. He's got what's trending and what's happening in the sporting universe. What's up, buddy?
Good morning, Michael and LeVar. I'll try and run down what's going on as I think back to my childhood in my many hours in the elementary school library using those Choose Your Own Adventure books. I would always flame out very early in the adventure by choosing the wrong one.
Oh.
In Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Finals last night, the Boston Celtics gained a foothold in the series with a 117-106 victory over the Miami Heat, which is still up 2-1. Jaylen Brown scored 26 for Boston. Jason Tatum had 25. Overnight in the NFL, running back Tariq Cohen agreed to a 3-year, $17 million extension with Michael Harmon's Chicago Bears. Ian Rappaport just reported that Broncos running back Philip Lindsay out 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained toe. The 0-1 Broncos are at Pittsburgh today. College football Saturday night. 17th ranked Miami went against number 18 Louisville 47-34. The Hurricanes had 2 75-yard touchdown plays and also kicked a 57-yard field goal. In game one of the Stanley Cup final Saturday night, the Dallas Stars defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-1. And what were you doing when you were 21? Matthew Wolf is 21 and he leads the U.S. Open going into the final round at 5-under by 2 shots over Bryson DeChambeau. Today, he'll try to become the youngest U.S. Open champion since Bobby Jones in 1923. All right, Michael and LeVar, turn to page 77 for choice A. Turn to page 23 for choice B. Back to you.
I want the story of whatever LeVar was going through LeVar's head when you said, what were you doing when you were 21?
Oh,
that's what I wanted. You should have seen the look on his face here in the studio.
I could actually see his thought bubble all the way over here through two walls.
It was a whole lot of thought bubbles going up. Boop, 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 boop.
I was trying to figure out what song became the soundtrack to that one. Ilo, you got any ideas, thoughts of what you want there?
Not on a Sunday morning.
Fair point.
I don't know.
Let's all go out and do good things and be good to each other and to ourselves.
There you go.
That's really what that comes down to.
And that's what I was doing
and
at
that's
21.
The bottom line. Never tell me I don't know how to do some wordsmithing.
That
let
was
me tell you.
Sure.
Mike Harmon alongside
Ilo
LeVar Arrington. Thanks,
Ilo. I had to run over here to see my face. Ilo ran out of the studio to come see my face.
I don't think I've ever
you
seen
you won't see my
like
face.
We got our whole team assembled. Our executive producer, Vince Close, Chris Perfette on the ones and twos, getting it done. It's now time to choose our own adventure.
Nice.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Ravens at Texans.
All right.
It's a good one.
All right. I got ahead of myself. I didn't block off. So we got Ravens, Texans.
Yep.
So nobody likes Bill O'Brien is what this comes down to, right?
Nobody
you got Kansas City week one. This is going back to that Big Ten conversation we had at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you can have a really tough schedule. Stop trading your stars. Ravens, Texans. Texans with the extra time off after, getting walloped by Clyde and company, but here's Lamar Jackson looking even more potent in the passing game, right? Getting more and more comfortable, and now you bring in J.K. Dobbins to work alongside Mark Ingram. Mark Andrews' snap count was up. Utilization rate is there. For fantasy purposes, he still has to hit pay dirt, but you're looking at a team that's, I think, just finding itself.
You want to know what's funny about Bill O'Brien and us leading off with him?
Please.
It's difficult to jump totally off the ship.
Yeah.
With his ship.
Ship.
That's what I said.
Yeah, I know.
But you saw my wordsmithing there?
No.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't jump off of his ship.
He finds his way to stay.
Because these are the type of games he's going to win. I'm going with the Texans.
Flat out?
At home.
Look at you.
With an upset. they slowed down the Ravens. Now, do I believe this? No, I do not. I do believe the Ravens will roll. I just got this weird intuition that these are the trap games that Bill O'Brien is able to get through at these points and moments in the season that do not allow you to just totally write them off. So we'll see if I'm right.
This one, it's curious to me just to see how that passing game develops, right? Will Fuller was their top target, 120-plus air yards in week one, 10 targets overall. Cooks with 5, a little more on the short, let's see if we can make a play and get some yak going.
Yeah.
And then you look at David Johnson is going to be big. Duke Johnson is out of this one, folks, so if you were looking for some PPR magic, that's not going to be happen. But just like the Kansas City game, that was at 98%.
Mm-hmm.
93% of tickets are on the Baltimore Ravens
for
this one.
Oh, they're popular.
Marquise Brown and Andrews led with 6 targets each a week ago. I'm going to take the Ravens to win outright, but it's good. They're going to have to sweat. So I'm taking Houston plus that 7.5 as we look at the total for this one. 49.5.
This is an early trap game for the Ravens, man. I'm telling you.
Huge game. The extra days to scheme. I would not be surprised if Deshaun Watson's able to pull it out. But in terms of trying to figure out the chess pieces and how they work and where that
poorly.
Big hit.
He played poorly against the Chiefs. You can't expect him to have 2 4 games back to back. I don't see that.
Yeah, the big thing for me is that I don't think you have that number one with separate, like the guy, mm-hmm. right? You got rid of the guy.
Yeah.
And we saw him walk into a situation with a new quarterback and catch 14 balls. So, I mean, that's the guy.
And he just got a contract that makes him just under the guy in terms of amount of
pay.
Oh,
yeah, when we're talking about Deshaun
you
Watson.
You don't want to go into the second game against another guy that is considered to be a rivalry for years type of guy and lose. Deshaun, you do not want to turn into that guy, and I'm pretty certain he's aware of that. You're going to get his best foot forward today.
Keep
going.
I'm curious to see that defensive front, how they attack Lamar Jackson. Mm. That is going to be the one to watch. Now it's time to choose our adventure.
There it is. There we go.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Giants and Bears.
Sorry, it was about the Bears. So,
the
I wanted to get there as fast
as I
could.
Well, you were talking about them already, so go ahead.
Celebrating my Mitchell Trubisky love. Today I have my Harold Baines jersey on. So celebrating the White Sox run. Mm. Bears, 5-point favorites, 42. You're over under. Week one, watching Trubisky, I think he got, as much as Baker got washed up, I think everybody was looking to take the stick like he was a pinata to Mitchell Trubisky in the first half. Like he was the guy they were going to pick on at halftime.
Uh-huh.
And he hit guys on the hands. Were they difficult catches? Yeah, but they're catchable balls. Jimmy Graham needed the ball in his gut to catch it because at least twice in the first half, he couldn't stretch. To make a play.
Right.
And Trubisky put the ball on Allen Robinson's hand in the end zone. Tough catch, but a catch that the Penn State legend normally finds himself
making.
Hauling in. So those plays go differently. First half's a totally different game, right? Look, the defense is where I'm a little nervous when it comes to the Bears, right? Saquon Barkley did nothing against Pittsburgh, but with no Eddie Goldman up front, the nose tackle, you saw what Adrian Peterson was able to do, gashing them for big play after big play, and I'm fearful that that comes back the same way. Now it's who makes the mistake? Is it Daniel Jones or is it Trubisky? Because we saw Jones with that play with Bud Dupree in his face at the goal line will still never make sense to me. Last week, I mean, because that's a game kind of play.
You changed the game by throwing
that. I mean, that was a 16-10 game at that point.
Yeah, you threw an interception to a zero technique, a nose.
Right?
A 3.
the nose tackle walks away with an interception.
With a game-changing INT on the goal line. Just
so,
can't do that.
And this one, though, I still think the Bears' passing game gets it done. I will take them minus the 5 at home.
I like that. When I look at this matchup, and this is why this is one of those poison joints, or pick your treasure, your what is it called? What are we calling this?
Choose your own adventure, LeVar. Because we're going to start writing a series of those books for the new millennium.
The adventure, yeah. Listen, I'm taking the Giants in this one, and the reason why I think they're going to respond to, there was a bit of negativity connected this week to just the way the Giants handled the game. You had Tiki Barber come out and try to say things that kind of called and held Saquon to task. Saquon humbly let him know he doesn't need people to motivate him. He's motivated enough. He's a franchise guy. And so I look for him to have a big game, a bounce-back game this week. And I saw a personality and I saw an identity of sorts out of the Giants, even though they lost to, you know, it's interesting. I saw elements of what the Pittsburgh Steelers are and have been historically in the New York Giants team. There were a lot of positives to take out of that game, and I think Joe Judge did a lot of speaking to that during the course of the week. I think they go into this Bears game and they get a victory that drives home the point that being the type of team, tough, hard-nosed, old school, paying attention to the little details will be the difference for you guys if you continue to believe and buy into it. So I'm taking the Giants in this one.
I love it. You know, I'm a big fan of Darius Slayton. And Barkley last week also.
Now, if they lose, though, I'll never give a segment like that again.
But, yeah, I mean, Barkley also active in the passing game. Key is Daniel Jones got to take care of the football. Coming up next, we will get into the Detroit Lions, the Packers, Jaguars, Titans. Oh, and that Tom Brady guy and the act of redemption.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome back in, Fox Sports Radio. It's Fox Sports or Fox Football Sunday. Sorry, we've changed the calendar. Means the name of the show changes as well, but the personalities remain the same. He's LeVar Arrington.
Hello.
At King of the Mammals on Instagram. Find me over at Swollen Dome. Time to get back into the games, and, well, we've got a doozy off the jump.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Lions at Packers.
6.5 point, your line. 50.5, the over, under. The Lions, as we know, sorry, Chris, gave away a brilliant opportunity off the Bears. This would be the Denny Green moment of week one. They are who we thought they are, and it applies because it was the Bears that he was talking about when he had that rant. Same thing. Detroit, Swift
if you
can't
crown them, then crown their ass.
Yeah, so they can't finish it off. Swift with the drop heard round the world. But now you look at an opportunity here against Green Bay. Green Bay hitting
opportunity.
On, well, opportunity to shock the world, I think would be what it is. Because, look, that 6-point line to me, 6.5, I'm sitting there going, I don't know. Adrian Peterson was good against the Bears run defense. Yeah, I mentioned it before. Last week they played 82% man coverage. Looking at Aaron Rodgers, the way he picked apart the Vikings, and they had some new components to their defense and were missing Danielle Hunter, but it was surgeon-like. Adams with a huge game, Lazard, MVS, they all got in. You saw some touches from Jamal Williams on that. You're looking at a number of injuries in that Detroit defensive backfield. Jeff Okuda will play, though, so excited to see. You know, anytime the Big Ten shows up on the board here, I get excited. Hockenson, also a big deal. And Cephas, who Chris gave us last week, led the team in targets with 10.
Interesting.
But Kenny Golladay out once again. Matthew Stafford on the road at Green Bay.
Yeah.
Historically, Aaron Rodgers has owned Detroit 15-5 in his history.
Interesting. You know, I looked up this word because I wanted to give you guys the true meaning of what I was feeling and what was surging through my veins when I heard this matchup. Corporal punishment.
Wow.
Physical punishment such as caning or flogging. Well, there won't be a cane or a flog, but there will be an Aaron Rodgers that will be dishing out a whole lot of corporal punishment. So I don't really need to go into any type of details or any long drawn out diatribes about why Green Bay will stomp a mud hole in the Detroit Lions, but just know that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I'm all over the 6.5.
I'm taking the Green Bay Packers.
I'm with you.
In a landslide win.
I'm curious to watch that offense, though. Matt Stafford had his moments last week. And look, if Swift catches the ball, we're not talking same old Lions. They're 1-0, and you're extolling the virtues of what his big game was. Next! We got the Jaguars at the Titans. 7.5 is your number. 44. You're over under. The Jaguars came back and stole it.
Yeah.
They came and snatched one against the Colts.
And I like the way they did it. You know, everyone had them written off, all but did. Losing all of the players. They traded all of their franchise guys away. What are they doing? They're punting for the season, and here they come scrapping and fighting, and they get a big win. But they won't be able to out-scrap the Titans. I see this Titans team as one of those other hard-nosed teams. Mike Vrabel has done an amazing job of getting them ready to go. The Titans win this one, but it won't be a blowout.
A.J. Brown out in this one means more Corey Davis. We saw Derrick Henry over 30 touches once again. I will take Tennessee to win the game, but that back door is going to be wide open. I love Gardner Minshew. I just hope they can surround him with talent. I like DJ Chark. Chenault is going to be a player. I think both of those guys find their way somewhere. It's into your daily fantasy lineups because they're going to be cheap. Tennessee wins this game, but they, like you said, I don't think they blow them out. I think that offense keeps flowing. Coming up next, we talk about both sides of the coin, Buccaneers and Patriots, because that's the story of the week next year on Fox.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's go. Hour two of the show. Fastest moving show you're going to have on your radio. Previewing all the games. Myself, Mike Harmon, alongside the All-American, LeVar Arrington.
Hi, my name is LeVar Arrington. I want to be an All-American just for you today.
Be an All-American every day. Do your part. Be smart.
I'm so happy to be here to give you guys information for your games.
I felt like we should have like little animated you and me if we're going to do that.
That was a bit.
That was good. I like that.
It was kind of funny.
Can you keep that voice for 2-3 hours? I think that's going to hurt your,
Mike,
I think that's going to hurt your throat.
I'd have no problem doing the entire show with this voice.
You can hear the complaints piling up at Fox Sports Radio. You can find me at Swollen Dome. Tell me all about it. No question about
you
it.
You can find Mike Harmon over on his social media places under the handle of Swollen Dome.
And that's the bottom line.
I'm done.
Yeah, there you have it.
It's annoying me.
No, that was. I like it. If you can keep that up with that energy, we could do that as an Instagram bit. Speaking of which, I've been given my picks along the way. Against the spread, here's my challenge. I'm going to be doing 1-900 lose my A's. The idea being that for every game I look, everybody's suddenly a gambling expert. We do it for entertainment purposes and try to give you an idea of how we think the games are going to flow. But there's a I got to get my penalty if for what I get wrong, LeVar. 5 miles extra on the treadmill. Plus, we'll kick in a few bucks for every loss to charity. And, well, we'll all as a community figure out who gets that money at the end. A way to do it. Because while I lose, I also win.
Okay.
And so do other
right.
people. So okay. that so that's the idea. Some motivation as we go. Motivation as well as in the media. Well, it was a firestorm. It's a firestorm in Tampa.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Panthers and Buccaneers.
All right, here we go. This is a game that everybody's eager to see. Part two of the Tom Brady experiment. Yesterday was Talk Like a Pirate Day. It was also Batman Day.
I didn't,
the fact that those two things lined up together, positively fascinating from where I sit. We've got the Buccaneers -8.5 over under sitting at 47 here. The Carolina Panthers, that defense is terrible. You watched what the Raiders were able to do in week one. Matt Rhule also, situational coaching will kill you. I understand that you want to be aggressive. Running the fullback when you just paid Christian McCaffrey makes no sense to me. A guy who's also had a big game, right? McCaffrey versus Jacobs, that was fun as hell to start your NFL season. But for the Bucs, a couple of throws from Tom Brady and... Look, all the guys that didn't wash the game were immediately, he's washed. He's terrible. That's the thing. Actually watch the game before you start giving these opinions, people. Just like I bet you didn't watch a down of what they did in New England a year ago. But because they didn't go to the Super Bowl and dominate, and because Tom Brady didn't throw for 40 touchdowns, he's obviously terrible. At least that's what people would have you believe.
Well, shiver me timbers. You know what I mean? Maybe they'll go up against those Carolina Panthers. And they'll get a bounce back game. They're going to burn their own ship. And they're going to take Carolina's. I'm taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in this one. They did not play horribly bad. They did not play bad at all. They just played a better team. A team that is better in terms of how far along they are as a team.
Well, we've talked about continuity.
Yeah. Yes, so
continuity, consistency. Because look, we'll talk about them a little bit. Drew Brees didn't look so great in that one. From where I sat, he made one throw that mattered. Otherwise, like, we'd be talking about him if Tom Brady hadn't been on the other side.
You know, the interesting thing about that game was you could see all of the potential that is there with Tampa Bay. The one thing that is a tad bit concerning if you're a Tampa Bay fan is, you know, you heard Emmanuel Sanders come out and say it didn't look like Tom Brady. Like, can Tom Brady be the GOAT that he was in New England? And everybody asked that question. I think people have to stop looking for him to be what he was in New England. It's not the New England Patriots. It's not Bill Belichick. It's not Foxborough and Gillette Stadium. It's not the mystique. It's not the swag of everything that goes along with what Tom Brady needed to be Tom Brady in Foxborough. He is now a Tampa Bay Buccaneer quarterback. So the question people have to ask from here on out is, can Tom Brady be the type of quarterback that can lead this talented group on offense to wins? And you do not want to lose focus and sight of that if you are a Tampa Bay player on that team. To look at Tom Brady and hope that he's the Tom Brady that you that was in New England, you have already taken the wrong steps in how you're viewing your teammate. Just let him be Tom Brady, your quarterback. Don't create this such a big image of what you think he's supposed to be that you lose sight of the fact of what you guys can do together. But I still think that Tampa Bay bounces back with a big win this week against Carolina.
All right, so here's a couple of great stats for you and one quick observation, right? Mike Evans, 4 targets, more of a decoy as this game went underway, right? Because we weren't expecting him to play at all. And the first interception, eventually everybody came around to the thinking that we had was, well, that was on Evans. Don't forget, Lattimore is one hell of a player, right? Don't push that away, right? There's something to having a cornerback that can erase a number one wide receiver. And this week, what's curious is you have no Chris Godwin. In concussion protocol, hopefully he gets well and gets back on the field. 2 stats for you. Tom Brady, 19-6, his last 25 games off a loss, 17-8 against the spread. But here you go for Teddy Ballgame, 10-0 against the spread when he's an underdog of more than 3.5 points. How about that?
Here's
his first loss today. Tampa Bay, -8.5, looking for a big comeback. Scotty Miller, for you fantasy owners, big targets last
week.
Man, but
6. If Carolina wins, shoot.
Oh, yeah, no. Everybody's going to burn that ship down. Are you kidding me?
Man.
Love me some DJ Moore. Curious to see how Robbie Anderson plays. I think this Tampa, but it goes back to your point about timing and getting on board and just that takes reps. That takes live game action. And that defense, I think, is pretty darn good. You bring in Ndamukong Suh, and you got Pierre Paul as your bookends.
Yep.
And that linebacking core, Devin White, is going to be a superstar. People
Levante
are going to know his name.
Is.
And Levante's a guy, if you don't know him, then you've been sleeping.
Yeah.
And then Shaq Barrett, they bring in. So you got 3 guys in that linebacking core that I think are going to make it a hard day. Because McCaffrey, remember, against Tampa last year, Todd Bowles did a great job of erasing him in those games. Look for more of that. There's your fantasy fail for week 2. Looking for a smallish games from Christian McCaffrey. We're coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. So go to geico.com, get yourself a free rate quote. Well, if we talk Buccaneers, we got to go to his old team. That's next.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Patriots at Seahawks.
All right, here we go. The Patriots last week.
Very intriguing matchup.
14 designed runs, for Cam Newton. Kept it on the ground. Edelman, 59 air yards to lead the team. There's no 12th man in this one. The storyline all week. We thank executive producer Vince Close, right? He keeps us surprised and makes sure that we don't miss anything. We catch it all in a big net, like if we were on that boat.
That's right.
In Tampa Bay.
Yeah, the Buccaneer boat.
On the ship.
Yeah.
Because you're on the road to the ship.
That's right.
But no 12th man here, and you got, well, old coaches. But they keep going. They keep winning. They keep dominating. Seattle, -4 in this one is the number. And we look at what Russell Wilson and company were able to do a week ago, an absolute demolition job on the Atlanta Falcons, moving the ball at will. The total on this one's 45. So we look at Lockett, Metcalf, Carson more as a receiver than a runner in week one. And for New England, it comes back to this for me. I mean, I know it was Miami, but it's all about discipline and playing your spot on the defense. Even with all those losses, I think they make it tough on Russell Wilson. We don't see a runaway game here.
I think this is probably the most intriguing matchup of the weekend. This is the one that this is the must-see game for a lot of different reasons.
Go ahead and cough. Go ahead. Let it out.
When you think about what Cam Newton was able to do this past week, it answered a lot of questions, but at the same time, it left you with a lot of questions. So it'll be interesting to see if he can have a big game against a team like Seattle of that quality. Now, the coaching, if you recall the history here, Bill Belichick slumped Pete Carroll for a Super Bowl. That has to be one of the more, I guess, embarrassing ways for a coach to lose a Super Bowl. And Pete Carroll always has to live with that.
Yeah.
So now you're talking about a matchup between two guys where every single time they see each other, whether they want to admit it or not, it's going to have a grudge match type of mentality to it. So these guys are going to have their A games ready to go as it applies to this game. So if Seattle can stick it to them and blow their doors off, they will. If New England can do it, they will, and we'll learn a lot about who Cam Newton is today as a New England Patriot versus just who is Cam Newton, the quarterback, because this is much higher quality in terms of this is not a Miami team that they're going to be playing. So, but in the game, I think Seattle is going to be too much for New England.
Too much, too much, too much. 155 yards in the air for Newton last week. I agree, but I think it's a close one. I'll take Seattle, but New England plus -4 as we roll through. Coming up next, we've got a lot of injury notes for the 49ers and Jets. That might be the most interesting stuff to come out of that game, although I may surprise you.
Okay.
There you go. That's what you call a tease here in the radio business. It is Fox Football Sunday. He's LeVar Arrington.
Why did I start choking on live radio?
Well, because you were feeling pressure as if you were one of those defensive lines from Seattle of old.
I didn't even know where it came from. I didn't know if it were – I didn't drink anything. I didn't eat anything.
I just
started choking.
Well, sometimes –
there was a word that shouldn't have came out of my mouth, and it got caught in my throat.
Well, I'm going to blame
– I wonder what it was.
I'm going to blame the Clippers for it.
Okay. Oh.
A little bit of a callback for you out there.
Okay.
Coming up next, we continue looking at the Week 2 slate.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, welcome back in. It's Fox Football Sunday. Ready for Week 2 of the National Football League. Reminder, because I haven't brought it up all week, but I'm going to say it now. 0 positive tests this week in the NFL, just to make sure we get that note out there for you. He's LeVar Arrington, the All-American. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate you. And having fun getting through the games of Week 2. And here's one that's, I think, far more interesting, at least to me, and maybe I'm trying to build hype where there's not, as we look at the New York Football Jets. Wear them out. Let's go all day.
49ers and Jets.
All right, here we go. 7-point line. San Francisco on the road, traveling the East. They traveled. All right, it's now 7.5. 41.5 is your over-under. No Le'Veon Bell, no Jamison Crowder. Crowder last week 13 targets for Sam Darnold. For San Francisco, no Richard Sherman.
No Kittle.
You got injuries on the O-line. Kittle is out. Debo is still out. Ayuk should be back in some capacity. And the stopgap solution was, let's get us some Mohamed Sanu in here. I'm just going to start by just throwing it out there. I'm picking the Jets to win this game outright.
Oh, wow. Really? No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. Run defense, slow down Raheem Mostert, and say, okay, Jimmy G, you beat me with your backup wide receivers. Maybe some Jerick McKinnon again out of the backfield. That was a fantasy ninja a week ago. He found the end zone. Didn't have a monster yardage game, but he found the end zone. You're looking at Tevin Coleman is part of it as well. Kendrick Bourne. I think this is an opportunity. It ain't going to be pretty. I think this is going to be an ugly game. But traveling west to east, early start, all of those missing components on both sides of the ball. And the one thing that the Jets can do is actually work against the run. Because that's all they draft is defensive tackles, don't you know?
One of the things that the 49ers can do is get the quarterbacks. I don't see the Jets being able to win this one. I think the balance attack, even with the subtractions because of injuries, won't be enough for the Jets to be able to. Although wounded and vulnerable, this 49er team is just better. They're just better than the Jets.
Well, there's no argument there.
There's too much discord, too much confusion, I believe, still taking place with this Jets team and organization. I just don't see them being that team that is competitive right now. So this should be a snoozer, if you ask me. 49ers will win handily.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of folks are watching this one. I'm not going to lie to you. It's a Frank Gore game, though. So whenever I can celebrate the fact that Frank Gore is still going while his kid has started playing college football.
That's kind of crazy.
That's pretty good for him, right?
That's kind of crazy.
Prashad Perriman also for you daily fantasy players if you want to roll the dice. You'd see that and a lot of Chris Herndon, no question. But let's move to the next game. More interesting.
Wear him out. Let's go all day.
Saints and Raiders.
So now obviously the fantasy implications of things. Michael Thomas will not be there to catch everything in his radius. That's not good. That's not good for you New Orleans backers because, look, he saved Drew Brees a lot last year. He's not going to be there. You need a new safety valve. So you'll see more of Alvin Kamara, one of the stats from last week. Alvin Kamara didn't run particularly well, right? 16 yards on 12 carries against the Bucs that we talked about earlier. He'll be more active in the passing game. You'll see more of Jared Cook and, of course, Emmanuel Sanders. I had told you to pick him up in the middle rounds of your fantasy draft, figuring he would have some value and become one of those guys to help move the chains. Well, now he slides up into the number one slot with Thomas out, and then it's a question of whether Traquan Smith or these other guys will work in. Raiders' offense was humming last week. You're looking at Josh Jacobs. Waller's back. Ruggs going to miss this one. Renfro probably picks up some more targets along the way, and you had Nelson Aguilar. Here, I'm going upset again. Because I'm just in that kind of mindset. Because I didn't like what I saw from Drew Brees last week.
No,
I like that one. There was one pass to Jared Cook, the longest completion he's had in like 2 years in terms of air yards. Not yak, right? Because he throws guys open. We got yak. We know that. 8 yard, quick, and then becomes a 50-yard gainer. That pass to Cook was the deepest ball he's completed going back to 2018. So, to that end, I don't expect Vegas to play a lot of defense. I expect points in this game, but I'm feeling a little crazy. So I'm going to take the Vegas Raiders to win their opener in their new park.
You know what's sad about this?
What's that, buddy?
You're opening up Raider Stadium with this game, and there is no real home field advantage based upon the excitement that you could generate with, you know, your fans. So I think a home field advantage could make this a trap game for the Saints, but they're not being that tremendous element of distraction and excitement from the 12th man, so to speak, that external energy and presence. The Saints will have a challenge to play well against them with, you know, without having their best receiver on the field, but they by far are well prepared and well coached. I just don't see, as much as I've seen the improvement with the Raiders, I don't see this being enough of a trap for it to be a trap game. So I think the Saints win this one pretty easily as well.
Yeah, I think that the curiosity to just editorialize for a moment, Davis had the opportunity to bring fans in and decided, if I can't have them all, I'm not having any. So the we've been told by a number of insiders, fellow owners, are not particularly pleased with Mark Davis because it's all revenue, right? Going back into the league the way they do rev shares and everything else, that if you're going to be one of the places where you could have people and you chose not to
right,
because you didn't want to offend some of your suite owners or the guys in the black hole.
Yeah.
Bad job by you, Mark Davis. I got to call it that. But I'm giving you the win as you got Allegiant Stadium up and running.
I don't mean they get to have it.
No.
But you could give it to him.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to him. Monday Night Football. Look, because
Mike Harmon's giving you a win.
Look, sometimes you got to step out and you got to get a little crazy. You got to get a little nuts. I think your point, and as we've talked about, continuity is going to be winning in a lot of ways. I just think this is a Raiders team that's throwing caution to the wind a little bit more than perhaps in the past. Maybe a little sense of urgency because Gruden doesn't like being told he's not a genius.
Okay. Well, he's going to have to deal with that today.
Monday Night Football.
They ain't winning this one.
Oh, come on.
I'm imitating my Dion.
Yeah, you just went. Hey, congratulations to Dion.
Ain't nobody even care about them goddamn Vegas Raiders winning this game because they ain't going to win it.
Either way, we know at the end of the day, guys are going to need their treatments. Maybe a little bit of Blue Emu into the mix. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast. You won't stink. I guarantee half the teams that lose today, you're going to say, wow, they stink. It's pharmacist recommended. Odor-free pain relief for muscle pain, backache, strain, sprains, even arthritis. No stinging or burning involved. Simple pain relief. Blue Emu Maximum Pain Relief. Works fast, and you won't stink. Dang.
There you go.
All right, here's another game. A great intrigue of overreaction coming out of week one. Let's see it.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Rams and Eagles.
Boo Birds out for Philadelphia. Yeah, they don't get to go and do it in the stadium. But, you know, after last week's debacle, that second half collapse against the Washington football team, people are calling for Carson Wentz. People are... Well, I mean, they're just not happy in Philly. Philly, that's 1.5-point favorites here. The Rams come into town, 46-year-old under the Rams defense. The play of the week for me, LeVar, last week was that Aaron Donald.
Ooh.
You know, he didn't sack Prescott on that play, but where he bull rushed and knocked 200-300-pound men like they were bowling pins.
Aaron Donald, we're from the same place, and I'm always proud to say that. We may not have the most best players out there, but we have the best players out there. I mean, anyway. He's a Pitt guy.
Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
I mean, you're just,
West PA. We don't even claim the entire state.
You don't even want the whole
state. We just take the Western
side.
All
right, you take your own.
But Aaron Donald is the catalyst for this Rams team. And they looked very dominant in that opening game. I see them continuing on with this trend. There are a lot of question marks. Their offensive line is depleted. They don't even know what they want to do with their offensive line.
But they played bully ball last week.
Whether they could do it
for 16 weeks, I don't know. But
I believe that the Rams will have their way with the Eagles' offensive line, and it will be some carnage out there. The Rams will win this game. It may be close. It may be close because I'm not sure what the Rams' offense will do yet. But you certainly will see the Rams be more active on the defensive side of the ball, and I think that makes the difference. So I'm going with the Rams here.
Philly get a couple of key pieces back. Johnson back on the O-line. Miles Sanders returns to the backfield. Boston Scott banged up a week ago. Look, the leader in the clubhouse was with 9 targets, 8 catches, 101, and a score. Dallas Goedert, he's a guy that – I think continues to see a huge workload. I love Zach Ertz, but Goddard as that number 2 tight end, getting it done. The return of Johnson, immense, to try to at least slow down Aaron Donald for a moment. We saw Robert Woods get rewarded with a big contract. Congratulations. big game. He was the leader in the Rams receiving corps with 8 targets a week ago. Malcolm Brown is going to have to be huge once again, I think, for this to roll. Like we were talking about with Baker Mayfield at the start of the show, kind of the let the running game do it if you can and let him pick his spots, because if you're trying to go pass happy, I think it's going to be a long day with Jared Goff.
Yeah, well, we shall see.
We shall see. I got Philly winning this game at home and covering narrow -2.
I'm glad we're disagreeing.
Oh, we're disagreeing all over the place today.
Yeah,
there's no question about it. I'm going to be walking a lot of miles, though, if I'm wrong. Ooh. Let me tell you, this is going to get ugly.
You really
I'm going to need that blue emu.
Man. Oh, yes, you are.
Well, but you know what? There's a great old adage, and I've got this book that's got all sorts
of them.
Give it to us. Yep. It is called, the line is, you get no laurel crowns for outrunning a burro.
Oh.
In other words, you're not racing against slow animals, slow people, slow anything in any walk of life, right? If you want to win in sports, in business, in whatever you're doing, that you got to face competition. That's the only way you're getting better.
Okay.
Right. So I'm looking at it saying, I'm not taking chalk. I'm not going to take the easy path for some of these games.
Okay.
And maybe I'm reaching and looking for something that isn't there.
But it's okay.
But if I'm right, the sweetest fruit is at the end, right?
The bottom line is if you believe it, then run with it.
Well, it's like the George Costanza. You're not lying if you believe it's true. He's LeVar Arrington. I'm Mike Harmon. This is Fox Football Sunday.
We could poke some holes in that.
I just thought it was a funny
one-liner.
It
was a good bit. Yeah,
LeVar.
Was.
I mean, on a churchy Sunday. I mean, I'm certainly not espousing that.
Come on.
It's Isaac Lowenkron with all the news you need here in the sporting universe. Hi, Ilo.
Hi, Michael and LeVar. Hello. Ian Rappaport reporting a short time ago that for a second straight week, 0 players in the NFL tested positive on Saturday morning on their COVID-19 test, so it's all clear for Sunday of Week 2. No players testing positive in their Saturday morning COVID test for the second consecutive week. Rappaport also reporting that Denver running back Philip Lindsay out 2 to 4 weeks with a sprained toe. The Broncos, who are 0-1, will be at Heinz Field today to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Overnight, running back Tariq Cohen agreed to a 3-year, $17 million extension with the Chicago Bears. On Saturday night in the NBA playoff bubble, the Boston Celtics defeated the Miami Heat 117-106 in Game 3 of the East Final. Miami still leads the series 2-1. In college football, the Miami Hurricanes ranked 17th in the nation, won at 18th-ranked Louisville last night, 47-34, as the Hurricanes scored touchdowns on 2 75-yard scoring plays. They also kicked a 57-yard field goal. On Saturday night, the Dallas Stars defeated the Tampa Bay Lightning 4-1 in Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final in the Edmonton NHL bubble. And finally, in golf. Yes, 21-year-old Matthew Wolff will take a 2-shot lead over Bryson DeChambeau into the final round of the U.S. Open today at 5-under par overall. Wolff trying to become the youngest U.S. Open champion since Bobby Jones some 97 years
ago. The gospel singer Bobby Jones?
Different.
Oh, okay.
Well, I mean, he could be multi-talented. I don't know.
I haven't verified that.
And different than the Philadelphia 76er player in the 1970s and 80s, if I have that right?
Ooh.
Bobby Jones, sure.
Okay, all right.
Well, you know what we could also do? I mean, Wikipedia allows you to edit stuff, Isaac. You could jumble all those guys into one legendary creature.
Oh, wow.
So golf, basketball, and singing all at the same time.
Well, you could. I mean, think about it. If you were
gospel
the singing golfer.
Singing.
Gospel singing.
Gospel singing.
Evangelizing to the masses as you played out your 18. How great would that be?
I wouldn't use my Wikipedia powers to benefit others. I do it to benefit myself. So I got to get a Wikipedia page and give all those powers to myself.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, not really. Actually, there are some people in the sports broadcasting industry.
Injury?
Injury. Boy, is that a Freudian slip?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
It ain't going to stink, Ilo.
But you know and I know, in our industry, there are people who have Wikipedia pages who edit their own Wikipedia pages.
Really?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. The egos in this business, come on.
That is crazy.
You would never do that on your Wikipedia page, would you, LeVar?
Not at all.
All right.
Not at all.
Don't care.
Could care less.
Say what you're going to do. Yeah. As long as you don't slander me.
If you're a goat, you don't have to say it.
And that's the bottom line. At Isaac Lowenkron is where you find him on Twitter. Thanks, Ilo. Time to get back into the game.
Bye,
Let's
Ilo.
Go. He just quit. Wear him out. Let's go all day.
Washington at Cardinals.
Now we're talking. The Washington football team a week ago left for dead. Like the Undertaker at a WrestleMania event rises to vanquish.
Rised up.
I mean, Percival Pringle was there. Woo! Boom! The Undertaker and Paul Bearer getting it done. Washington plus 7.5. 46.5. You're over under. We watched that defense terrorize. Absolutely terrorize and obliterate. No. They're getting 7.5.
Oh.
I just went the other way.
Okay,
plus
I see.
7.5.
That kind of confused
me.
Yeah,
Carolina minus 7.5 at home. Because I thought the better story was the little engine that could with the Washington football team. Down 17, Haskins and company, but led by that defensive line, Chase Young.
That defense is better than what. Not just the defensive front, the defense as in general is better than what people are giving them credit for. You got to think about this. Philadelphia has like this mental brain advantage over the Washington football team, and I don't know why it is. It's just like this rivalry thing, but they still found a way to win that game out of the gate. That was going to be a tougher game than most games. I really believe that was a possible defining moment for this team at such an early stage in the season.
You remember, though? We both picked them.
Yeah. Yeah, we did.
Two of a very small group of people in this media world
and
calling
you know,
for that win.
I am not going to pick them today.
No.
But I do, however, believe that
will
be a good game. This will, if you have this game on your television, you will want to watch this game because they will give Kyler Murray all he can handle and the rest of this Arizona Cardinals offense. And let me tell you something. If they don't find a way to get out of the gates quickly, the longer you let a team like Washington stay in the game, the worse it's going to be, the more dangerous it's going to be for you. So they got to get it early if they're going to get it. But I'm still going to go with Arizona.
We saw Hopkins with the monster game, 16 targets in his first game. Fitz, Kirk, and Edmonds all had 5 targets each. We saw Kenyon Drake, solid game, not world-beating in week one. For the Washington football team, Peyton Barber was your leader, 17 for 29, 2 scores. Look, if you want to play him in a touchdown-heavy league, have at it. Otherwise, I will just sit and grab my beverage and snack and sit and watch this one. Logan Thomas, I think, could be a nice plug-in play for you here. Arizona historically hasn't covered tight ends very well. And you're looking at, well, Terry McLaurin will be a wide receiver 3. But with Thomas, we talk about the injuries. Jarwin's done. Kittle's done. You've got some others with tough matchups. Maybe he's a nice spot play for you here. I'm going to look for Arizona's winning this game. That minus 7, though, is just dangling out there and just taunting me. I wish there was a hook one way or the other. Make me feel better about myself. But I will take Arizona to cover and finish the job. Finish with a 10-14-point win when it's all said and done. Now it's time to choose our own adventure.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Bills and Dolphins.
All right, we got our Bills, Dolphins, Buffalo, Josh Allen getting it done. A couple of boneheaded plays and decisions with the football. That's the thing that always scares me. He'll look really good, and then he'll have a play where he gets upended, loses the ball, things of that nature. They had 8 red zone opportunities last week, LeVar.
Yeah,
I mean, this could have been an absolute burial.
The Bills are a better team. I look for the Bills to have a good showing against the Dolphins. Weather could play a factor, could play a part in this. That could be a opportunity for the Dolphins to take advantage of that. But nothing made me feel as though the Dolphins were a competitive team watching them against the New England Patriots. So looking at the Bills, I know they made some mistakes, but I just think this is a good team – They got some really good players in some key positions. I look for the Bills to have a big game today, and they'll win.
Yeah, I think they win this one going away, even though it's down in Miami, so people get nervous when teams go down to Miami. There's no question about it. But I'm just looking personnel-wise. There's just too much here.
Yeah.
And if it's going to get sloppy, plus it's now 6.5 is the line, 42 you're over under. Ryan Fitzpatrick still the starter. I know there were some moments last week where it's like, this could be Tua time. Hmm. It could be Tua time. We'll see how long that works.
It will take some time for that.
Yeah. Gaskin is your leader in the clubhouse for the Miami run defense. We saw the Bills hurt on the defensive line last week, so we'll see how they bounce back. So maybe some opportunity there. Gaskin had 63% of the snaps. Jordan Howard couldn't fall forward, just 7 yards on 8 carries. I think Matt Breida is eventually the starter there and will win the lion's share of targets and touches, but for now, not so much. Preston Williams, a tough play as a third receiver against the Bills. I look for them to run and run a lot against Miami, just like New England did.
Mm.
Follow the script that they laid out for you. Buffalo in a big way. All right, we got one more game to preview. We'll get our mammals of the week, the ninjas of the week, and we'll get you rolling into the Fox NFL simulcast.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are back. It's Fox Football Sunday. Fastest 2 hours. Tons of information. We got all our picks in full effect. My 1-900 lose my ace. Video will be up in about 20 minutes from now. Running back through the against the spread picks with the, I'll take the physical challenge that comes with it for each one that I miss. He's LeVar Arrington, the All-American. I'm Mike Harmon. Thanks for hanging out with us here on Fox Sports Radio. We got one game left to go. Let's hammer it down.
Wear them out. Let's go all day.
Broncos at Steelers.
All right, here we go. The Denver Broncos. A curious team. Cortland Sutton looking like he wants to gut it out. No Philip Lindsay, as we've been talking about this morning. Didn't expect him to go. Now they've put a time frame on it with the toe injury. 2 to 4 weeks he misses. Means more Melvin Gordon. If you want to get desperate, adding to the back end of your roster for fantasy purposes, you've got Royce Freeman once again gets into the mix. The one guy I like in this passing game, actually two now, because Jerry Jeudy led the team in targets, the rookie, last week with 8. Noah Fant is going to be a problem for people. A lot of yak from him last year. Looking for more of it here. He got through some of those drops issues that he had early in the season. 6 targets, expect more from him. Curious in the backfield how they're able to support Drew Lock, though, because Melvin Gordon has some ball security issues. On the other side, shook off some rust, but Ben Roethlisberger with a big game against the New York Football Giants. Again, we don't know what the Giants necessarily are, but we know what type of culture they're trying to build. As you said earlier, they're trying to steal directly from Pittsburgh.
That's correct. When you look at this Steelers team, I think what's going to make the difference here is Ben Roethlisberger. I think that they have got him acclimated in that first game, acclimated in the offseason to feeling comfortable and confident under the given circumstances of what preparation was this year. But I didn't have a problem with the way Pittsburgh looked. That defense is a phenomenal defense. I think that they will give Baltimore a problem for that AFC North crown this year. They'll show some dominance in this game. Look for the linebackers, you know, Bud Dupree, those type of guys coming off of the edges to give this Broncos team a lot of problems. They won't be comfortable in being able to do play actions or to do misdirection plays. It's just going to be a suffocating style of defense. So look for the Steelers to stifle them on defense and not give the Broncos too much, which will obviously allow the Pittsburgh offense to get developed, play their grinded out style of ball. We'll go into all mammals later, and there will be a player from all mammals from the Pittsburgh Steelers game.
We'll get to that in just a second. -7, the line, 40.5, the over-under. Deontay Johnson, a guy that I hang a star on. Juju Smith-Schuster got the touchdowns to get people excited And obviously, I'm looking at Johnson to have a big week once again. 10 targets a week ago, Juju just 6, and not a lot of yardage, but he got the 2 touchdowns as you go. I'm looking at Pittsburgh to roll in this one at home. As you mentioned, that defensive line is a lot to handle.
So, the front 7, front 8 all together is a lot.
Well, and then you go and add Minka Fitzpatrick and make it even tougher. Yeah. All right, let's get to the king of the mammals. What do we got?
Yeah, man. All right, so if you're looking for mammals of the week, these are the guys that I'm looking at to do some amazing things. Amari Cooper, check him out today. I think that Dak Prescott hits him, targets him, and I think he has a big day. I think he goes over 100 yards receiving, and it may be the difference in this game for Dallas. I mentioned just a few seconds ago about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Look for Juju Schuster-Smith.
Smith-Schuster.
Smith-Schuster.
That's all right. You got it.
And I have it written down, Smith-Schuster.
That's okay. I see it.
And I coached at the same high school. Anyway, look for him to have a big game. He'll have a mammal-like performance. Look for him to go over 100 yards. So these are guys that I would, if I were a fantasy football person, I'd be looking at them. Davante Adams, I think that it's going to be a mammalish day for him. So look for him to have a super tremendously big day, and leads me to my next quarterback, or my only quarterback on the list right now, Aaron Rodgers. Definitely start him if you have Aaron Rodgers, and I'm going to bring it home with the last mammal, Saquon Barkley. He will have a bounce back game today. So if you're going with a running back that could score you some points and give you some good performance, it's going to be Saquon Barkley.
Right on. All right, let me give you a couple of quick fantasy ninjas, including our fantasy play of the week. We're looking at Paris Campbell, 9 targets a week ago. He'll be active against that Minnesota secondary. Zach Moss. Yes, Buffalo running back at Miami. And the fantasy play of the day is going to be Benny Snell. Juju Smith-Schuster picked him up in his fantasy league. Hey, did you know that right now Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more. Enjoy the games, everybody.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.